When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a generation where I believe fathers are not really as prevalent in their children's life.
And if we have five senses for our physicalness, we should have five for our soul and five for our spirit, which gives us a total of 15 senses, right? You know, our last conversation was becoming husband.
Yes, sir.
I'm no longer in that relationship.
Yes, sir. And for good reasons, it's not just on you.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. I think I'm still becoming a husband.
But what he didn't teach me hurt me the most. My father was like, I couldn't reduplicate something I was never given or taught.
Right. But I think the better way to handle this problem is to fix the son.
Fix the son.
If something happened, if you had a romantic encounter yesterday and she was wearing a particular perfume or cooking some collard greens, if when you walk by and smell that again, guess what's gonna happen? Your body is gonna respond, and you're gonna be like, "What? Why am I?"
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the table. It's your boy Anthony O'Neill, man. I'm super excited today because in a generation where I believe fathers are not really as prevalent in their children's lives, specifically, actually, men and women, we're seeing that. There are a lot of men who are doing it right, who are a part of their kids' life. But I want to know how are our fathers impacting? In today's conversation, you know, we're going to really have a conversation with a dear friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine since I was, 18, man. And I'm 40 this year. So it's almost 22 years of friendship and brotherhood. This man has seen me in my low points. This man has seen me do ladies wrong. And in front of him, he's like, "Nah, Ayo, you can't do that." And check me right on the spot. This is not just a friend. This is an accountability partner. And we love each other deeply as far as in brothers. And I said, "Yo, let's have a conversation," because he is an author, a good friend of mine, Jeremy Wright. He is an author to all the ladies he loved before God. That we'll bring that back up. And then today he has a new book that I said, "Bro, we need to have this conversation. I want you ladies to dial in and to listen to this conversation. But at the same time, I want every man to watch this video. I need you to send this to your husband. I need you to send this to your boyfriend. I need you to send this to your sons, because we're going to talk about how impactful a father's presence in your children's life can set them up to be successful financially and just successful, period, as a man. And if you're watching this as a man, yo, dial in, because today's show is going to be, I believe, one of the best ones that we've done, because it's going to be an authentic, vulnerable, and real conversation between two men. One man who's in a different season than I am, one man who has a kid, who has kids, and I don't have kids. It's going to be that kind of show. So be dialed in. But before we get to my brother Jeremy Wright, I want to thank today's sponsor of the show, Ethos. You see, as fathers, as men, we got to position ourselves to be able to leave an inheritance to our children's children. That's biblical, right? And so in order to do that, you got to have wealth. But in also to do that as well, you got to have life insurance. And you need to have a plan. Where there is no vision, that's where people perish. And if you pass before you put a plan on paper, that's why our families and our children are struggling, because we didn't take the time to put it on paper. So I want you to check out this quick commercial from my friends over at Ethos before we get to my friend Jeremy Wright. Recently, I've completed my full estate plan, and it's been an emotional journey, if I'm going to be honest with you. But now I have a peace of mind knowing that my family and loved ones are well taken care of. But here's something you may not know that I think you need to know. According to a recent study, nearly 60% of African-American adults have life insurance. Now, wait a minute. Many of these policies may not provide sufficient coverage to fully protect their families in case of unexpected deaths. This lack of adequate coverage is a pressing issue among the Black community. It can lead to financial difficulties and potentially hinder the building of generational wealth. In today's time, it's more important than ever for African Americans to give priority to life insurance and estate planning. You see, by doing so, you can ensure that your loved ones are secure in the event of your passing. This covers funeral and burial costs, clears all debts and mortgages, and provides a financial cushion to help them continue building wealth, long-lasting wealth. Don't leave your family's financial future to chance. I want you to secure life insurance today. I want you to get a free life insurance quote through my friends at Ethos. All you gotta do is go to anthonyoneal.com/life insurance. Again, that is anthonyoneal.com/life insurance for your free quote, or click the link in today's show notes. Protect your family's future and attain a peace of mind. Act right now, and let's get back to today's show. So listen, go to anthonyoneal.com/ethos to check them out. I want to encourage you to get that information. I mean, join this amazing community, because I promise you it will be well. But y'all, I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's get into today's show. What up, bro? Welcome back to the table, bro.
Chilling, brother.
Hey, it's a different table from the last
time. It is. And listen, let me start by saying that I'm proud of you.
Oh, man. Amazing, bro.
The last time we did a different table, the last one looked wonderful.
Yeah.
But you're in a different space, different place.
Yeah.
You know? Different space in life.
Hey man, listen, so, that's where it is.
Congratulations.
Hey man, that means a lot. Means a lot, man. 22 years of friendship.
Yeah.
22 years of brotherhood. And I've seen you go through changes. You've seen me go through changes, man. And I just want to thank you, man, for being a brother. Yeah. I will never forget the day I was like, oh yeah, that's my brother. We was driving in a car, coming back from a conference.
Right.
And it was raining.
It was a leadership conference.
It was a pastors and leadership. Yeah, yeah.
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We drove down there and to see Bishop Jakes and all of them. And I remember, man, I think I was what, 20? I was in my 20s at that time.
Yeah.
Mid-20s, 24, 25.
Late 20s.
Yeah. And man, I was on the phone with my girlfriend at the time, and I was going off in a way that I was not proud of.
Yeah.
And immediately you was like, yo, you were screaming at me. You was like, yo, hang up the phone. And you drilled into me. It's like, that's not how you talk to ladies.
Right.
And I want to tell you, man, publicly, thank you for doing that.
You know what, Anthony, if I'm honest and I look in looking in retrospect in that moment, you were mid-20s, if I remember.
Yeah.
But I saw myself in that moment.
Wow.
You know, I don't think we've ever talked about that
part. No.
Because I had, if you remember our last conversation, I talked about conflict resolution.
Right.
And I had problems with that. And I would, you know, I would go to that space or that place.
Yeah.
And I didn't want you
to
be in that same place that I was. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, because I thought about that. I thought about when you mentioned it. And I thought, wow, what was that moment about?
Yeah.
And it was like, yo, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anybody to pull me back.
Facts.
You know?
Facts.
I didn't have anybody to pull me back. And hopefully that was an impactful moment.
It was.
So that you kind of got it. But I didn't have anybody riding on the other side who could witness what I was going through to pull me back.
Yeah.
You know?
I needed that, man, because, you know, every relationship is going to get in an argument.
Absolutely.
And even after that, when I started feeling myself get there, I will always, oh, Jay Wright, see, he'll tell me to calm down.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, then calm down, bring it back down, because that's not who I want to be.
Right.
You know? And I just wanted to say, brother to brother, man, thank you. Thank you for that, because that's what we need. We need men, but then also ladies need accountability partners too.
Right.
When they going loud, when they going in, that they can, like, hey, bring that back, because you shouldn't be talking to him like that neither. Right.
I think we all need that. We all need guidance.
Yes, sir.
You know, perfect segue. That's one of the reasons why I wrote this new book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
for guidance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What's the title of this new book, man?
It's called Love Letters to My Son.
Yo, let's talk about it.
Right, yeah. That's the topic. But then I have a subtitle, Navigating Love Without the Proper Example from Me.
Ooh. Jay Wright, you know? This is honestly like a complimentary to your last book.
Well, yeah, the last book, To All the Girls I've Loved Before God, it was truth-telling. I talked about my personal journey and how I got to a place of understanding. I think that there's so much in the book. While the title is engaging and it talks about the girls that I love before God, there was also like a basis there, the substratum. Remember that word?
Yeah.
That held the book together, and that was about understanding who we are as people.
Yes, sir.
Right? That was about those 15 senses in our, like most of us believe we're taught that we have 5 senses.
Yes, sir.
Which are hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch.
Yeah.
But we are triunal.
Yeah.
We are spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah.
And if we have 5 senses for our physicalness,
yeah,
we should have 5 for our soul,
right,
and 5 for our spirit,
right,
which gives us a total of 15 senses, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so into All the Girls I've Loved Before God, that was taking people through a journey of mine to the place of understanding who I was as a person. And hopefully that helped other people understand who they are. Because like I said, it's hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch. And then for the soul, it's the mind, intellect, will, emotion, imagination.
Yeah.
And then it's prayer, praise, worship, faith, and hope.
Yeah.
And all of those things work together in terms of making us who we are.
Yeah.
Men live in one area, women live in another.
Yes, sir.
We're not actually from Mars or Venus. Mm-hmm. One's from the physicalness, the other's from the soul.
That's facts.
You know what I'm saying? So everything that we do as men,
yeah,
we do from hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch.
Yes, sir.
Everything that they do as women is from the mind, intellect, will, emotion, imagination.
Yes, sir.
So that book was that.
And you killed it.
Well,
I mean, you told on yourself in that book.
I did, but I had to do that. I had to do that in order to get to... into the place of understanding who I was and
yes,
who
sir.
We are. I had to tell the story.
Bro, you told it. I mean, I even think, maybe not, maybe you told me, maybe it's his brother, but did you tell him how many ladies you slept with?
I had a roundabout.
That's what I was saying. In the book, right?
Well, in that period of time.
Period of time. I
didn't get
out there, boy.
True
brother.
I didn't give them that. Like that. That was a different period of life, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's definitely not you today, man. Because you're definitely, you're in this season. Are you in a season now of marriage? Like, you're ready for it?
Well, you know, our last conversation was becoming husband.
Yes, sir.
I'm no longer in that relationship.
Yes, sir.
But
good reasons. It's not just on you.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think I'm still becoming a husband.
Yes, sir.
So this process, this place that I'm in today,
yeah,
is still getting us where we want to go.
Yes, sir.
So it's all a part of the journey, right?
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes when you're traveling down the road and back again, there's some things that you're going to do that you like, and there's some things that you're going to do that you're not so happy about.
I'm looking at this stat. I'm going to make sure I have the right stat. Because how many fathers are active in their children's lives? Mm. I really want to know that stat, because 89% of fathers who live with their children are active in their lives. They're showering them, dressing, you know, really active in their lives. In contrast, 25% of fathers who live apart from their children report the same activities, but the 54% of them have no say-so in their lives.
Yeah.
And I know that your son's doesn't live with you. Why? I want to start off this question with why, Jeremy? Like, why did you write this book and dedicate it to your son?
Well, and let's go back a little bit to becoming husband, that conversation that we had.
Yes, sir.
I was really happy about being in a relationship in that moment.
Yes, sir.
And I was happy about that because I had the opportunity to do something for my children that I'd never done.
Mm.
And that was, I'd always loved my daughters.
Yeah.
So they understood how a man was supposed to love them.
Right.
But and I've loved my son. So he understood how a father is supposed to love him.
Yeah.
But I never gave him the proper example of loving a woman.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So I felt in that moment that I was showing him how to love a woman properly, or I would at least now have uh-huh. that option, that possibility of doing that.
Yeah.
So out of all of the things that I've done, you know, they could see me, they could see me now in a healthy situation, loving a woman right.
Yeah.
But then it ended.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't get to see that.
Wow.
And it wasn't in that moment or when the relationship ended that I kind of thought about it. It was the start of his senior year, last July. I think I'm a pretty fashionable guy, right? But my son, he has just come to this place like this year for a long time. He was kind of like, and I was like, huh? So he called me and he wanted a pair of Jordans. And I was happy. I was like, yo, okay. Send me which ones you want.
Okay.
So he sent me the Jordans he wanted. But because he's not really into, or he had not been into this stuff, he didn't understand, or he didn't, that they happen in drops. And this was a pair that had been
already dropped.
Dropped 6 weeks ago.
Right. So they're gone.
Right.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
And I got them. I'm trying to find it. I'm looking everywhere. And I realized, Jared, these shoes were dropped 2 months ago, man. It's tough right here. I can't find them anyway. And my son said to me, it's okay, Dad. You always come through. I said, huh? He said, no, it's good. You always come through. I said, that's how you feel? He said, well, for me. And I got off the phone.
Damn.
And when I got off the phone, I was like, I felt like, yo, my son feels like I come through for him. And I was really excited about that Friday. Saturday, when I got up, I don't know why it kept pulling me, right? And I didn't feel as proud as I did on Friday about the statement. So, and then I started thinking about the relationship failing. He's not, here I am again. He feels like I come through for him, but I don't have this example to show him how to love a woman properly. Ooh. That's when it started pulling at my heartstring.
Yeah.
So I was on my way to Chicago the next day, that Sunday morning.
Okay.
And as I was driving to the airport, I called him back. I said, because when I woke up Sunday morning, I had gone from proud on Friday to feeling totally inadequate on Sunday morning. And I called him up and I said, son, I owe you something. He was like, what you owe me? Yeah, he perked up. He was like, what you owe me, Dad? I said, you said that I always show up for you. I said, but I don't think that I've ever taught you how to love a woman properly. And I owe you that. And yeah, I could feel his kind of like deflation because he thought I owed some money or something. Yeah, he was like, okay, Dad. He kind of, you know, he was like, okay. I said, no, seriously.
Yeah.
I said, do you have any questions about women? Do you have any questions, anything you want to ask me? Yeah. And you don't have any limitations, any restrictions. You can ask me anything.
Yeah.
And he said, he kind of chuckled because, you know, he's at that point, he's 17.
17, yeah, yeah.
He's going, yeah, I got this. I got it.
We all thought that at 17, bro.
He was like, I got it. And so I said, okay, well, hey, if you find yourself in a space where you have some questions and there's something that you want to know, hit me up. And then I got on the plane. And I sat down and I wrote the first letter. You want me to read the first letter?
Yeah, I want you to read this first letter.
The first letter, I got on the plane and I sat down and I wrote, my dearest son, as I sit down to write this letter, a torrent of emotions engulf me. The weight of regret, the aches of missed opportunity and the longing for a chance to do things differently loom large in my heart. This book, Love Letters to My Son, Navigating Love Without the Proper Example from Me, is my attempt to reach out to you and share the lessons, the life lessons that the lessons that life has taught me, in hopes that you might benefit from my experiences and avoid pitfalls I stumbled into. First and foremost, I want to say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not being the example of love that you deserve. Growing up, you witnessed my missteps, immaturity, insecurities, which undoubtedly left their mark on your understanding of love and relationship, even if not yet realized. I deeply regret any confusion or pain my actions may have caused you. This letter is not just about dwelling on the past or my shortcomings. It's about acknowledging flaws and striving for a brighter future. In these pages, I aim to guide you on a journey of self-discovery, understanding, and healing, not just for yourself, but also for people that you will love and be loved by in return. Throughout this expression, we'll explore the intricacies of finding the right kind of love, building a strong and lasting connection, and how to make that love endure the trials and tribulation life throws at us. It's a journey that begins with acknowledging our past, learning from it, and choosing to become better. I want you to know that despite my own struggles and missteps and mistakes, my love for you has always been unwavering. It's that very love that drives me to share these lessons with you. So let's embark on a journey together with an open heart and a commitment to becoming the best version of ourselves. With all my love and hope, Dad. That's what I had when we touched down in Chicago. And I thought, that's not enough. Yeah, that's not enough. I thought that I needed to answer questions that he didn't ask me and that he wouldn't ask me.
You needed to answer questions that he's asking. He's just not asking you.
Right. That's a good, yeah. He's asking somebody.
He's asking.
Right.
And he may not even be verbally asking, but he's thinking it and he's seeing it on YouTube. He's seeing it on social media, TikTok, and he's getting the answers, but he's not getting the answers from his father.
Right. And I think that's, you know what? I'm going to use that moving forward because I think that that's the best thing. So we're always asking questions.
Absolutely.
You know, because I was asking questions.
Yes, I was.
You know, and I
didn't have sex until I was in college, bro.
Right.
My father never sat down with me and said this and that. And like he'll ask questions, but they never really created the space for me to feel comfortable to tell them the truth. And that's why I'm like, yo, Jeremy, what you're doing now, thank you. Because you're creating a space for your son to come and share. Not the, just the things that will be comfortable, but for the things that also will be uncomfortable as well.
Right. Listen, I mean, hopefully that's what we're getting.
Yes, sir.
I think I sat down when I wrote 31 love letters about everything from God to monogamy, communication, finding the right woman. Like, first, you know, your self-awareness.
Yes, sir.
Like, I put them in order. What you have to understand first before you think about a relationship is you got to be self-aware. You got to understand you.
Yes,
we
sir.
Talk about, you know, like finances. I open this book with one statement, and that's all I give from the book. They'll have to go and check it out.
We're going to put that in today's show notes to y'all, because this is a book that I think every woman needs to get and give to their sons.
Right.
Especially if their fathers are not in their life.
Every man needs to read this. And I got to do a shout out. Bishop R.C. Blakes.
Yes, sir.
He wrote the foreword to this book. And he said, when he wrote it, and I smiled, he said, it's a manhood manual.
Yes, sir.
Like, that every man needs to read.
Yes, sir.
Because my father was there, but this is how I opened the book. What I've benefited from most in life are the lessons that my father taught me. But what I suffered from more were the things that he didn't.
That's facts, bro.
And when I said that, listen, this
oh, that's yo, facts. Oh, Jeremy.
Listen, I read that to my dad, and when I read it to him,
good God.
When I read it to him, I heard him sigh. I heard, and my dad said to me, he said, "Would you think that I didn't get it from my father?"
Ooh.
And it started a chain of vulnerable, open conversations that my dad and I could now have.
Right.
Because, like, my dad taught me about money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was that guy who, my dad's love for us was shown through provisions.
Yeah.
You know? And being the pastor, he taught us, he'd give us a dollar for allowance.
Yeah.
And he would take your tithe first. Mm. And if you didn't come back with 10 cents next week, you couldn't get allowance again. So he taught you tithing and saving at the same time. You had to pay yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you didn't do that, you had to operate on 80% of your money 50 years ago of when I with him. Like, you didn't operate on 100% of your money.
Right.
Right. So those things have benefited me in life.
Yes, sir.
Because he's taught me, and you know, you and I have had these conversations about money.
Yeah.
Even before you became the money guru, right?
Yes, sir.
So I benefited from those things.
Right.
But what I suffered from was the fact that, like, I didn't hear my dad say, "I love you." Mm. My Uncle Marion, the Honorable, the late, great, Honorable Bishop Marion E. Wright. My uncle died back in February. Mm-hmm. And he was the first adult Black man that said, "I love you." Mm. So, but my father, now, do I know he loved me? Absolutely. You know, that's why when I look at you and your relationship with your dad,
it's a really
good one.
That's my guy.
And I'm always proud of that. I'm proud of the relationship that me and my father has.
Yeah.
Because my father stepped up for me in a very broken period when Jerene was coming and it was nobody there. My daddy was the person that was there.
Wow.
But then when I look in retrospect, all of the things that I knew about relationships outside of my family structure was something that was self-taught.
Yeah, see, it's opposite for me. I've always heard my dad say he loves me.
That's what my son.
Always. Like, he would, "Love you, son." Kiss me on the forehead when I was young. I never questioned if my father loved me. I knew what it felt like to feel love from a father figure, from both of my fathers, mm-hmm. you know? But what he didn't teach me hurt me the most.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you when it hit me, and I love my father, but it's almost like, I don't know if your father said this, but my father was like, I couldn't reduplicate something I was never given or taught.
Right, and that's basically what he said when I read him this part. He said, I didn't get that from my father.
Right.
So I've always felt love. I've always known that I was loved. I just didn't hear it from him per se.
Facts.
Because his love language per se was provision, was providing for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he was always there.
Yeah.
So I knew that part, but in this moment, I wanted to give my son something different than like what I had and what I have seen other people get, particularly in our community.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do I help that? Mm-hmm. I can't fix it, but how do I help it?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we do, I'm a girl dad first. I have my two oldest are girls. I got three, and my baby is my son. And this is the thing: we often tell our daughters,
yep, all day,
what not to do, and we actually try to prevent them from hanging out with guys like us.
Yep.
Or whatever. It's always to guide them away from us.
Yeah.
But I think the better way to handle this problem,
ooh,
is to fix the son.
Fix the son.
Because then you won't have to have them run away from him.
Yes, sir.
Because if you get a good son, like this boy that I'm about to give the world, he's going to know what to do. He's going to know how to do it. And I'm following. Here goes your love letters to my son.
Yeah.
What you need to look up? You need to look up monogamy?
Yeah.
And I tell him, I didn't do that. I didn't do that right. But what I want you to do is understand that monogamy plays a role. Think about it as like a single garden, a single flower in your garden. Yeah. When you nurture that and you take care of it, then it blossoms and it blooms.
Yes.
But if you got garden, if you got flowers that you're just picking and rooting up all the time, you can't see the beauty in the one that you're nurturing, right? I didn't get to do that. Damn. I didn't see that until now, but nobody told me that. Because the way we grew up, the man, if you're the man, if you got 5, 10, 15, 20.
And I was so blinded by that because I'm in a house with my father. I couldn't go to prom.
No. Yeah,
no prom. There was no dancing on Friday nights because, you know, back in Trubon days, we going to church on Friday night.
Yeah.
So it was like, you going to church, you going to serve in this house. Like, my father protected me and shielded me because he loved me that much. But then when I went to school and I see my boy talking to this chick and then going around the next classroom, he got another chick.
Right.
But also, wait, a man, I got to have multiple?
Right. And that's the thing. We were always taught that way. Think about it.
Yes, sir.
If you, you that dude.
Yes.
If you got
several.
But my son, I'm saying, son, listen.
But we weren't that dude. We thought
we were that dude. Right. So love letters to my son gives him it's the breakdown for every possible situation that you can find yourself in that you need to know something about.
Yeah.
And it's, son, I love you. I tell him how proud I am in every letter.
Yeah.
And then I tell him, this is why you need to do this.
Are you tired of feeling stuck in a job that no longer excites you? Dreaming of a career that not only challenges you, but always rewards you handsomely? Let's turn that dream into reality with Yellowtail Tech. Even if the tech world seems out of reach due to a lack of background or degree, we've got you covered. In just 6 months, Yellowtail Tech can transform you from zero to tech hero. That's right, ensuring you're not just job ready, but in demand. What's our secret? A world-class education delivered by industry-certified professionals who are not just teachers, but leaders in their field. They bring real-world experience into the classroom, ensuring you learn not just the theory, but how it's applied in the tech world today. But we don't stop just there. With Yellowtail Tech, you'll earn certifications in cutting-edge technologies like AWS, making your resume stand out. Plus, our apprenticeship program gives you the hands-on experience employers are looking for, ensuring you're not just ready to enter the tech field, but excel in it. And here's the best part. Our dedicated job search coaching is designed to help you land a lucrative job fast. I want you to say goodbye to dead-end positions and hello to fulfilling, well-paid career in technology. Are you ready to make that leap? I want you to visit anthonyoneal.com/yellowtail. What's going on, family? Have you ever worried about the incredible impact of influential figures like Megan Thee Stallion or the profound culture moments like the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott? These stories are more than just headlines. They are powerful narratives that shape our history and inspire our future. You see, for me, these stories represent the strength, the resilience, and the creativity of the Black community. They remind us of our ability to overcome adversity and create world-shifting change. I believe my audience will find these stories both interesting and inspiring because they resonate with our shared experiences and aspirations. If you're interested in hearing more stories like this, you have to check out my friends at NPR Podcasts. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting change out of struggle. Every episode is a living account of what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama, to the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott, there's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen right now to these amazing Black stories, Black truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To learn more about how Yellowtail Tech can help you achieve your career dreams. Don't wait to start building a future you're excited about. Your tech career begins right now. Visit anthonyoneal.com/Yellowtail. I was reading this book, and inside the book, and it talks about how the wealthy of the wealthiest have been able to pass down wealth to the generations, to generations. Inside of it was knowledge capital. That was one of the things.
Right.
And the knowledge capital, when I started reading and really studying more, it wasn't just knowledge around money.
Absolutely.
It was knowledge around all experiences of life.
Dude, listen, every success in life is built on relationships.
Yes, sir.
And that's that. While that is a relationship with your money.
Yes, sir.
It's a relationship with people.
Yes.
And it's a relationship with individuals who strengthen whatever area of life it is that you are working in or that you are concentrating on at that point in time.
Yes.
And so this is that moment.
That is.
For us to hone in. Here's the thing. Anthony, in writing this book, God gave me something that actually, and I got to say it was God, because this, some of the things that I get, and you know, we're talking all the time, and you're going, whoa, whoa. But this was something that blew my mind. And this was why it was important for me to put this book out and to get this, you know, out in the world at this moment in time. We have been out trying to fix the relationship between brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and I love all of the movements. I love the heel bro, mm-hmm. just heel bro. I like heel black man. I like all of those things.
Yeah.
But we cannot properly heal the relationship between brothers until the relationship with the fathers are created.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what I say that God gave me. He gave me, it's the cross relationship model.
Yep.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you.
I see where you're going.
God created Adam from the dust of the ground.
Yep.
And he took Eve from him.
Yeah.
The only relationship in the world that God created at the same time was brothers and a father. Mm. Because at the same time that Adam became a father, they became brothers. That's why there was Cain and Abel.
Mm.
Now, granted, there was a mother in that equation too.
Right.
But the relationships between moms and sons aren't the ones that's often broken.
Right.
But at the moment that they became.
Yeah.
He could not be a father.
Right.
Without them being brothers, because they were twins.
Yes, sir.
That's why it's so significant here.
Wow.
So to fix this relationship and this relationship be broken is impossible.
Yes, sir.
So right now, I want relationships between us to heal. Mm. But here goes this book to heal the relationship.
Yeah.
The vertical relationship, because and then the horizontal one can be fixed too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where this is going.
No, I think you're hitting it on the head, man, because fathers got to get it right with their sons. And I think the first thing we have to do is admit to our sons we didn't do it all right.
Right.
And I think sometimes for fathers, that's difficult for us to admit that. My father texted me the other day. I had Sarah Jakes Roberts on the show, and I was talking about how finding out what happened between him and my biological mother at 20, 21, impacted me until I was 39, right? I didn't know subliminally that I was running and ghosting ladies and doing ladies wrong in any communication, because when I felt like I was getting close to a woman, I would run, because my father told me that he was in love with my mom and my mom did what she did to end their relationship. And I was like, yo, I don't want to be my dad. Mm-hmm. So when I would get close to a woman, I would run. Mm-hmm. And my father texted me the other day saying, man, I apologize
right.
for how that season in my life impacted you today. And my mom has also apologized as well. They was in their young 20s, man.
Right.
And I told them both, I mean, I love you. We've all made mistakes. If I have children, I got to apologize to them too, because I've done some wrong. I've done some things that was wrong. But I feel as if this letter is setting your child up, your son up, one, to become a better man, two, to be a better man. I think he's going to get married half your age. He's 18 now.
Right.
I think he'll get married before he's 30, because now he's getting the wisdom from his father. And then what that does is, when he gets married, he who finds a wife obtains favor. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about wealth beyond what you can even imagine, right. but what you desire for your son. But I think the Bible says the truth will set you free. And man, the fact that you said, hey, son, let me give you the truth that I wish I had at 18. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Wright, I would have still been a virgin. I don't know about that. Yeah,
I was going to let you go.
I ain't going to lie about that one. But I would definitely be married by now.
I would too.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would not. If I would have had that conversation, I definitely would have been married. And I definitely would be a lot further along in life. But my father couldn't give me what he did. But let me tell you the awakening part for me, that I was like, dang, it hit with what you said with your father. Like, man, I benefited from the things that my dad taught me the most. Mm-hmm. But then I suffered the most from the things my father didn't suffer. And I remember when I joined Ramsey Solutions, pretty much 99% all white. And I think I told you about this. My direct report at that time, his name is also Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
He was leaving. He said, hey, man, I'm about to leave for a week. And I was like, a week? I said, that's what's up. He said, yeah, man, I'm taking my son up to the mountain to have the talk. I was like, your son? To have the talk. He was like, yeah. We're gonna have a talk. And I was like, what talk? I'm like, what are you talking about? He was like, oh man, we're gonna talk about what does the Bible say about sex. For a whole week? He was like, yeah, there's a whole curriculum that we walk through and all that type of stuff. And he was like, man, I'm married, you know, his mom a virgin, and then he said in front of other personalities, and all the personalities were virgins when they got married. And I was like, wow. And I say this respectfully, me and my father never had the talk. We subliminally, the talk, but it was never, hey son, let's sit down. Hey son, let's go out and get something to eat. It wasn't until I was 21, 22 when I first told my other mother, my biological father's wife, and I call her mom, but for legally, for the sake of this conversation, my stepmother, she was the first woman I ever told I had sex. Mm. And then she told my father. And then my father then came and had a talk with me. But by that time, it was already too late, Jay.
Right.
Because the world goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. I was asking these questions. And at that time, BET and MTV
right.
in school wow. and my boys were mm-hmm. teaching me about sex, but not my father.
Right. And that's, you're not alone in that. Yeah. That's why we got this now. Because all of us,
yeah.
I can't say all, because I'm certain that somebody in our culture got it right.
Yes,
I'm certain of that. Yes, so I won't say all.
And we see that.
Right.
I see male virgins and black
right.
Ladies.
My son, right today, I mean, he's proud of the fact that yeah. he's still a virgin.
Himself. Yeah.
And I'm proud of that for him.
Yes, sir.
But I think that most of us are in the same position. Mm-hmm. And what I understand most now is what my daddy said. Mm-hmm. He said, because I didn't get it from mine. Mm-hmm. And so we've grown up in a culture mm-hmm. where we had to be quiet.
Yes, sir.
We had to be silent.
Yes, sir.
I mean, a lot of conversations I've had, and I'm not going into that part of it, but a lot of conversations I had culturally, people don't understand. They were like, well, why are you guys here? You know, we went through a lot of trauma mm. and as a community. And then for our men particularly, our men were pulled out of homes. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they had to do certain things, certain jobs, and they were they always had to be quiet, because if they told the truth about certain things, they could actually lose their lives.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so that has been something that has been passed down from generation to generation. It was hard for men in that particular period of time to say, I love you, because they may not have a family tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll be sold off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we've grown a particular emotional defense culturally against the things that we were like trained to do. But now, where we are today, mm-hmm. you are free, I'm free to have conversations with our sons, young black men, about our emotions.
Yes.
And to feel, because if this goes back to the first book, so they should get both of them.
Yeah.
When we talk about hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch, everything that a man does is based on what he sees.
Yes, sir.
What he hears.
Yes, sir.
What he smells. What he tastes. You know, you're turned on by those things.
Yeah, I sure am.
Like, right, for instance, and I know this is a family show, yeah. but a man's body responds in a certain way. Mm-hmm. He don't know why. Smell is the strongest sense associated with memory. Mm. If something happened, if you had a romantic encounter yesterday mm-hmm. and she was wearing a particular perfume mm-hmm. or cooking some collard greens, if when you walk by and smell that again, guess what's gonna happen?
I'm thinking.
Your body is gonna respond, and you're gonna be like, what? Why am I? That's because smell is the strongest sense associated with memory.
Yes, sir.
Right? But for a woman,
it's different.
She lives in the mind, intellect, will, emotion, and imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
She can feel, you can do what you're going to do all day long if it doesn't take place in her mind.
Yep.
Facts. If she can't will herself there.
Facts.
You have to concentrate not to get to a place. She has to concentrate to get there.
Yes, sir.
So we're traveling in opposite directions.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So the thing about this is that we didn't know that it was okay to travel in all areas of your trichotomy without limitation.
Facts.
We just stayed in the physicalness.
Facts.
It's so you got 15 senses,
yes,
just
sir.
Like she does.
Right.
So if she's in the mind, intellect, will, emotion, and imagination, mm-hmm. But she's always visiting you
right.
in your hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch.
Yeah.
You got to give equal visitation.
Equal.
You see what I'm saying? And then there's the God factor, but that's a whole, you know, yeah. I ain't come to do Bible.
No, but we're going to get, they're going to get your books. Listen, y'all.
Yeah, they got to.
You got to get both of the books. Man, we sold a lot of the last time he was on the last show, so we're going to put both of the books in today's show description. But Jay, I want to get to some practical things. What are some things practically in this book that you would say are teaching points that fathers should be having a conversation with their sons today? Specifically fathers to sons. Like, give me the top three that you feel as if, hey, I don't care, at 10, at 12, at 13, these are the things you should be talking to your son about today when it comes to loving.
Well, in terms of loving a woman, I think the first thing that the father should be trying to do is be an example.
Yes, sir.
That's the first thing I tried, and I'm trying right now to be an example of love.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's to show him how to love a woman, but to have an example of love between you.
Yes, sir.
So that's the first thing that
Now, you say love a woman. Now, watch this. Tell me if you agree, because you're not with his mom. One thing I respect about my dad, and he taught me, he never talked negative about my mom to me.
And I never will talk negative
he
about
He never, even though my mom mm-hmm. did him wrong in that situation, mm-hmm. right? He's always spoke positive about my mom. He's right. always yielded to my mom. I've never seen him disrespect neither one of my mothers at all. I've seen him and his wife, my other mom, disagree, but I've never even seen them argue. So in my head, I want to talk to that single father who is not living in the same home, who's not with his wife. What are some practical things he could do to show his son how to love, right, a woman from a respectful standpoint? Like, hey, although I'm not with your mom, I still respect your mom, because I do believe, Jeremy, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're in this place, I see men mm-hmm. and women disrespect their baby mamas or their baby daddies in front of their children.
Well, I think I have, you know, my story is what it is.
Yeah.
I have three children. I have three mothers.
Okay.
Right? And what I can tell you is my relationships with my children have mirrored the relationship I've had with their mothers.
Mm. What do you mean by that? Break that down.
So
how do you say it without? Yeah.
Yeah.
Be sensitive, right, brother. Right.
So I'm saying that my children are all loving, right?
Yes, sir.
But I got my oldest she'll cut you for her daddy.
Jernay. That's my girl. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the extent of relationship, the extent of love that was shared in those relationships, mm-hmm. I can actually see giving back in the kinds of relationships that I have. That's a great way to say that. Like, yeah. It mirrors the relationships with their mothers.
Okay.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think one of the things, getting back to the practical thing, it's like, just be truthful.
That's it.
I think you have to, like, land on truth.
Yes, sir.
No matter what.
Yes, sir.
And because of what I do believe is, I believe that our children can accept us as we are. Mm. As long as that's who we are.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think we need to land on truth every time.
Okay.
You know, because when I'm talking to my son, there are things, when on his 18th birthday back in February, I came here and, you know, we spent the night, we stayed in the same hotel room with each other just talking.
Okay.
We went to dinner, and there were things at 18 now I can share with you as a man,
so good.
Man to man, but this is my truth.
Yeah.
So the conversations that Jared and I have had in the last 3-4 months have been mind-blowing.
How do you feel as a father stepping into that season and having that conversation and exposing your son and even telling your son, hey, you know, there are some things that I've done wrong with ladies that I don't want you to do. Like, how do you feel as a father having that conversation?
I feel really good. I want to say this because I want him to watch this too.
Okay.
I gave my son this book for Christmas.
Yeah.
Before anybody else got it.
Yeah.
And he was really proud of it, or is really proud of it. And I told him one day that I was going to publish it. And he didn't talk to me for like 3-4 days. And I was like, I called him and he had never ignored my calls. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? When we finally got it, he was like, so did you write this book for me or did you write it for everybody? Because if it's mine, and he had a particular ownership, and I want to say, where am I looking? Because I got to say, this book is yours. I wrote it for you, but let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I read a couple of letters to my mom, and my mom was like, oof, your nephews need this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, Mom, I'm not their dad. And she said, but they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told Jared, and I told my son, I said, well, this is what happened. I read it to Grandma, and I went back and I read one of the letters to him, and I said, and Grandma thought that your cousins should be able to share in this.
Mm.
And I felt he was like, oh. I said, so what we're doing is you got me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who don't have that same thing. They don't have the same opportunity or gift, mm-hmm. you know? If you like to think of yourself as that. But they don't have that. So this is the opportunity to help people everywhere.
Bro.
And he kind of like, I felt it lift. I felt him say, oh, well, okay, I got it now. Because he was in this place where I'm giving the world something that belonged to him. But now I think he totally understands. And again, I want you to know, son, that this totally is an offering to you. It was written for you. And prayerfully, it blesses you and the rest of the world, too.
No, man. And
put me on the main camera right here if you can, Ed. Thank you, Derek. Thank you for allowing your father to share this message, your message that he wrote to you, to the world. But because of that, other young men are going to be healthier. And when we have healthier young men, we have healthier young ladies. When we have healthier young ladies, we have healthier relationships.
Absolutely.
And I wish I had this book when I was 18, because some of the foolish decisions that you've had to check me on, I would have avoided. Because the truth of the fact is, culture is teaching our young men today, and our young ladies are stepping up to the plate. Our young ladies are being mama and playing a role of a father, and starting businesses and raising kids all by themselves, while we are out here, not all of us, but while we are out here just having a fun, having sex, doing what we want to do, and the woman is at home sacrificing, right, struggling and trying to do it. So this love letter that you wrote to your son in the form of a book that we all get to partake from, we all get to learn from, I believe is going to help the father and son relationship.
That's the prayer, man. I believe that, if I'm honest with you, when God gave me the concept, it felt divine. Mm. It felt like this was what is needed in our culture right now. You know, I do Brother Strong, and that whole thing is for the uplifting and empowerment of us. But how do we get to where we need to be?
Yeah.
We got to start at the foundation, at the core of it.
Yeah.
And that's directing our sons, our young boys, to where they need to be in relationship with our women.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know that you don't have to make the same mistakes that I did.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have to have this vicious cycle going on.
Facts.
And that's what has happened. We have consistently, over and over, fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
Fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
But here you go.
Yeah.
Read this. You know, I'm walking alongside Jared. It's not like do as I say and not as I do.
Facts.
I didn't do it, but now I am.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Now I'm in the position, and I don't want you to wait this long. You said something that touched me, because that's what I want. I want him to, I don't want him to be 52 wondering.
No.
When.
Right.
Or what.
Right.
I want him to be 52 celebrating 20 years.
Of marriage.
Right, of marriage. Like, I want him to be 52 with children that he raised in his house.
Yo, 52 and he's wealthy.
And wealthy.
Yeah.
But that's a part. Listen, Anthony, this is what I thought about, and I think this all the time. You're wealthy now, you're doing well. What if, and you do a lot of this without the other side of the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do a lot of this with your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had someone on the other side who could watch your blind side?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I want his blind side to be watched in his throughout his 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking for this, who's gonna watch my blind side?
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd be further, much further along in life if you just had that person who could watch your blind side.
Yes, sir.
So hopefully this book changes us so that we change our culture, changes our sons, changes us as men.
Yeah.
Because here's the other part. When Bishop Blake wrote this and said that it's a manhood manual, it's not just for young boys.
Facts.
It's for men who had issues with their fathers. Now, they may need to know how to talk to their sons.
Absolutely.
Or they may need to forgive their father for something. Because you said earlier that we need to apologize, but some of us need to forgive, too.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Because I think there'll be some fathers who have not matured to the point to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be your excuse to reduplicate what your father did to your job.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the greatest enemy to all of our success is our excuse. And if you and your son's relationship is off because of your relationship with your father, that's an excuse. That's
absolutely
a trauma that you need to heal from. And you need to forgive your father. And the only way we can move forward is to forgive.
Absolutely. Right?
You hit that on the head. This was an emotional show, bro. You know, because I feel it. There are so many young men who come up to me, man. They'll hit me up in my DMs. They'll come up to me at the church. They'll see me driving one of my cars, like, and they'll be like, oh, man, do you do any mentorship? Like, I'll pay for it. And I think that we do have a generation of men who want to be mentored, mm-hmm. who want the guidance, who are seeing, like, yo, I don't have to, you know, I don't have to be a hoe. I don't have to have 2-3 different ladies on my side. I don't have to fake it. Like, yo, I'm seeing guys like Jeremy, guys like Anthony, guys like a Darius Daniels, guys like, you know, these other guys who may not be the end guy, popular guy, the street guy, but got everything the street people got, but we got it healthy.
Right.
Right. And they're like, how do I get that guidance? And I think your letter is the beginning, because here's the truth. And we're going to end it on this conversation. I am extremely financially blessed today, mm-hmm. but I'm also turning 40, right? I've been in this position. You know me when I was 22. You knew me when I was making $28,000 a year working for Simon Temple.
Right.
If I had your letter and if I had the sound guidance on how to operate this journey of dating and really of being a man and really staying true to who you are, I'm like, God, like, I'm not even a good steward of the resources God gave me because I was doing that to impress a woman.
Well, I think again, all of us, you know, all of us did Jesus. Those kind of things. And my prayer is not just that he's trying to impress somebody, but that he has his somebody.
Yes.
Because he's gone through, he's read all of these letters.
Yes, sir.
And he follows the instructions.
Yes, sir.
Because what if you had good, sound advice to wake up to every day and the money?
My company will make $1.5, $2 million a month.
Right. So if you had the money and the right one.
That's favor.
Because now you're looking at the money aspect.
Right.
We're looking at adding the component of favor to it.
Bro, listen, you did you watch the show with me and Sarah Jakes?
I watched a portion of it, yeah.
Sarah said the same thing. She said, Anthony, you wealthy now. You got a lot of money now. She said, but you probably are nowhere near where you could be if you were married.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that.
Yeah, if you got the right person, you have the right person. Because we've seen marriages end often. Hopefully this book, we get to the place where our sons are understanding how to choose and that they are ready to be in that place.
But
if you had that, I don't even know.
Jeremy, listen, man. I'm on track by the next 4 years. I don't have to work again for my life. My money will produce $1 million a year for me next 5 years. By 45, my investments will produce $1 million in compound returns where I will live off of that. And when me and my financial planner was sitting down talking, I could have did that by 37 if I would have just been wise. And so again, bro, I just want to say as we close out this show in front of my community and my world, man, thank you for being a brother. Thank you for checking me when I was 22 when you saw me treating this young lady verbally. Like, yo, you don't talk to ladies like that. I've always held that, you know. Thank you for being honest and truthful. Like, hey, yo, I messed up in this area. Because when I do start date, I'll call you. I'm like, hey, bro, do you think it's a good idea? You be like, nah, listen, man, I'm going to be real with you. Nah, it's going to be good today. It's going to be good tomorrow, but you're going to regret it next week.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate that I can call you and get the real. Right. Because you have saved me headaches. You've saved me from being a baby daddy. You know what I'm saying? Like you in that, and for me, I think that's what we got the brotherhood part now.
Right.
And I thank you for showing me an example of if I'm blessed to have children one day, got to meet the wife first. If I'm blessed to have children one day, I've learned so much from you on how to father correctly. I can't do it perfectly because I got to walk the journey.
Right.
But I thank you for doing that. And I thank you for this letter that you and your son have allowed us to partake in, because this wisdom, as I close the show, hear me clearly. When I read, I've studied 40 billionaires. And what I've studied is, what I've learned is, they've all said the most things that have impacted them around their wealth had nothing to do with money. It was about relationships, it was about knowledge, and it was about stewarding. And one of the guys said in the book, If I can steward, if you can find your wife earlier and steward her well and grow that relationship, you'll be wealthier half my age. Mm. And I'm like, this book is going to help men become wealthier, because if we can mature earlier on,
right,
if we can get, you know, start securing and really start maximizing the single season that we're in, get our wife, get the right thing first earlier on. Because here's the thing, and I hate saying this, and we got to go. We're way over time. But this is my brother. We got to stop saying, well, that's biblical. He who finds a wife finds favor. I mean, finds this great thing, obtains favor. I'm with that. But don't get it twisted. My wife finds me. There's a level of maturity and support that comes with that because of everything that God has given me.
Right. And you got to have that.
Yeah. So she's going to elevate in her business, in her thing, because of the wisdom and the knowledge that God put on the inside of me.
Absolutely.
And combined, it's just going to be amazing. But there's nothing like that favor. I ain't got it yet. I can't wait for it.
Well, listen, man, thank you again for being here. Can we tell the people where to go?
Absolutely. We're going to put the that information in the show notes.
Okay.
Where they'll be able to get the link to where you can do it. You can say the name of the website now, but it's going to be in the show notes to where they can click on it, go get the book. I want y'all to get the, I want you to get both of them. Get the first book, To All the Girls Who Love Before God. I think that was one of the most realest books I've ever read, because when you wrote that book, you don't even know, bro. I was like, dang, like, that was rough, because I had to apologize to all the girls I loved before God.
Right.
And even check this out, I even had to apologize to some of them after I loved God too.
Well, you listen.
Because I'm like, dang, man. And it's like, and that's how I, we got to go, because I'm way over there. We can talk about this on and on, but that's how you know you're mature.
Right.
When you get like, dang, that was messed up.
I am JeremyWright.com.
I am JeremyWright.com. Both of the books will be there, you guys. We'll put that information in today's show notes. If you enjoyed today's show, can you give this thumbs up? And listen, as we end this show, every man needs to watch this show. Every man. And I believe that our world will be better. Our queens, our black sisters, I'm all for everyone, but I mean, I'm all for that black woman.
Right.
She will be healthier. She will be even stronger. I don't want no weak woman. I want to help her become the strong woman that God has fearfully and wonderfully made her to be. And we got to do that by fixing our men. And we're starting here. We're working on ourselves as well. And he's getting that relationship with his son. And I think I am going to start that young men thing, man. I have a lot of young men coming up to me saying, yo, I just want to learn how to get my bag. And if I can get my bag, Ayo, I think I can get the best woman. I'm like, see, that's the problem. I'm not even working hard for no woman. I'm working hard for my wife.
Right.
But I'm not for no woman. And cut me right here, Ed, because the Bible said he who finds a wife. The Bible doesn't say he who finds a woman.
Right.
Not every woman.
That was a clip from the other show. Listen.
Hey, yo, we love y'all. See y'all on the next show. Yo. Peace out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.